Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Vaishlach. One of the greatest things we should do when we learn the Torah is to look at the perspective of somebody who's facing the story and not somebody who already knows the end. You see, we have a problem. We read the portions. We know what happens, what's going to be the end, and what are going to be the results of the actions. But put yourself in a second in the mind and in the soul of the character who is actually going through the drama. Put yourself in the perspective of the beginning of the weekly portion where Jacob is going to face Esau, the angry brother who was taken away with the blessing and the firstborn. He now has a big family and he faces the reality that I might going to fight this man. And this is going to be a challenge that I need to accept. And the truth is that the whole process of what Jacob is going through, in our sages' perspective, in the Midrashim, in a lot of different commentaries, explains that we are almost facing, Jacob is almost facing a replay or a recounter of what we will experience in the Exodus. Look at this. In the way that Jacob is seeing. He goes and leaves his father home, not for their good reason, just like Jacob in the beginning went to check what's happening in with Joseph. He arrives to a place where he's going to work really, really hard, just like the slaves in Egypt. Not only that, he's going to bring blessing to Laban, the owner of the ships and everything he's going to work with. And yet, you will be scammed and not being appreciated. Just like the people of Israel, after everything they did, they developed the blessing. Even Joseph gave so much blessing to Egypt, his kids, his sons. They will be scammed till the perspective that says there's going to be a king that never knew Joseph. With all the good things he did, he will be irrelevant. Jacob leaves Laban's home with a lot of sheep. A rich person with a big family, just like the people of Israel are going to leave Egypt with a lot of money and possessions and big and huge numbers. The first encounter of Yaakov will be the vicious Esav, who's going to attack him, or not yet, but this is the encounter. And the people of Israel will encounter the same when they're going to face Amalek. By the way, one of the ancestors of Amalek is Esau. They will go and continue the journey of the desert with a lot of incidents that are going to happen to them, and they will arrive to Shechem like Jacob did in the time of Joshua. They will do it. And this is a circle of events that really is similar to the story of the Exodus. And what can we put out of this? What do we learn from it? And what did Jacob learn from it? Or what was it that brought him into the situation that he will encounter Esau and what it's going to mean to him? I believe that when we read the encounter in Hebrew, there's a verse, there's a word that repeats itself many, many times. And it's the word of face, panim. It says that he will see him face to face. And after the fight, he will call the place Peniel, the face of God. And he will talk about facing and facing and face and face and face. Because I think for the first time, the encounter with Esau was a dual face-to-face encounter. You understand? Put yourself in the shoes of Jacob and you will understand that everything he went through in his life, like we spoke about last week, a lot of issues and a lot of challenges. But what the one thing that really connects all the dots until now was there was never a confrontation. It was always scheming and maneuvering behind the back. Think about the fact that Jacob, from a very young age, fights in his mother's womb against his brother. Then he makes this sell of his two to his brother to take the firstborn. He's going to his father and he lies or he doesn't lie or he acts so he can take the blessing. And then he needs to run away. But it's going to follow him. The shadows and the voices from the past of the scams are going to follow him, and when he's going to encounter Lavan, a big scam artist himself, and he will be scammed with receiving Leah and not Rachel, he's going to come to Lavan, he's going to ask him, what did you do to me? The answer there is chilling. And Lavan says to him, here we don't replace between the firstborn and the youngest. Almost twinking to him and saying to him, here we don't do it, but I don't know what you did there with your father. And it will continue when Rachel is going to take away your father's statues. And this event that you don't understand the concept, first of all, why do you take something that's not yours? Maybe it's something you already did, Jacob? And then you find a situation where an old guy, the person, the father, goes and he needs to look around and search for something. Isn't it exactly what you made to your father when he had to search for your hand to recognize which son is it? So you see this confrontation within him that repeats and maybe reminds him of the situation that he had to face there. And those scams and the uncertainties. And now with Esau, he's going to confront it. For the first time, it's not going to be easy. It might be war. It might be different. But he will go face to face and confront it. And the second lesson I want to say from all of this is the situation that happens in the end. Because Jacob is going to be changed and not going to be called only Jacob. He's going to be called Israel. And in Hebrew, as the verse says, Israel means you will fight. There will be fights. There will be situations. I think we will encounter it in the end. In the horrible story of Dinah, when the daughter of Jacob is going to be kidnapped and raped by Shechem. Because he falls in love with her. His father Hamor, would like to negotiate the deal. And the brothers, his Jacob's sons, are going to scam him and tell him, yes, but you need to do a circumcision. When they're going to be weak, they're going to take advantage and they're going to kill the people and they will take their sister back. Show respect to the family. When the father is going to confront them, Jacob, they will give the short answer that says it all. Well, he's going to make our sister a prostitute? Why do we need even to hear this story? What does the story give us from a moral perspective? Everybody doesn't end up well. Shechem and Hamor are corrupted. The brothers are doing things that their father criticized them and says, what have you done? And the father remains without any answer when the confrontation with his kids. I think the biggest, deepest answer we can have is that now the twist, the change, the confrontation that you had as individual will be changed now. It's now Israel. You are the father of Israel. You are the father of the nation of Israel. In his book, The Parable of the Tribes, Andrew Schmockler gives a beautiful story, which is going to be something to reflect up. You are in a place, you're in a country that has a couple of tribes. All the tribes want to live in peace, but there's one tribe who decides they want war. They cannot understand why the other tribe will exist. If all the tribes will act in peace and quiet, one tribe will be killed, the other tribe will be kidnapped, the other tribe will become slaves. You cannot act in peace, and you cannot not fight when one tribe takes it into violence and strength. You understand? After the full circle that Jacob has of mini Egypt slavery, he's redeeming himself in a confrontation with his brother. And that's what's happening after he confronted Esau, his brother, Lavan, his father-in-law, and now in the name of a nation. There will be tribes, the Torah explains, just like at this book, that you cannot live in quiet and in peace when you live in such a neighborhood with tribes that want only war. You only need one tribe that is looking for war, and all the other tribes to exist will need to use the same tools, the same power, and the same strength. Jacob represents the nation of Israel. The journey becomes from a private journey to the tribe journey of a nation. Your nation will go through a horrible time. They will be enslaved. They will be redeemed. They will become a nation. They will need to understand that sometimes they need to answer fight with fight. There is a situation in the world, being Israel, the verse says, that you will need to fight. You need to survive. You're going to fight with angels. You're going to fight with nations. You're going to fight with relatives sometimes. But you need to be in the understanding this is the mission. The confrontation, indeed, is not only negative. Sometimes that's the only way to solve problem. Living in such a neighborhood, living in such an area. As we just faced that this weekend, everything in Syria and another in a country, a regime just fell apart in a couple of days. We understand how fragile is the situation here. We are fighting for our existence. With the help of God, we are going to total victory. There's nothing else we can say. There's nothing else we can pray for. Shabbat Shalom.